This morning, I'd like to talk to you about a lifestyle. A lifestyle that is very important to us as believers, as Christians. And the lifestyle that I want to talk to you about is not something that the world gives. It's a lifestyle that only God can help you come to this place where you give more than you receive. I'd like to share, and I want you to know up front, I have no notes. Only thing I have is some scriptures written down, because I want to share personal testimonies about my wife and I's lifestyle of giving. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I will preface everything that I'm going to share this morning with a man that really spoke volumes into my life, Pastor Bert Kelly. I got saved under Bert's ministry, and it was a faith church. It was a church that preached give to receive, and a church that preached let God take the lead and believe God for big things in your life, and believe God to be able to do, just believe God. And it'll happen if that's what you desire God to do in your life. If just trust God, trust God, trust God, trust God, and believe His Word and preach the Word and be instant in season and out of season and allow the Word of God to guide your life. And then I went off to Bible college in Dallas at Christ for the Nations. And another pastor that was there, Pastor Wayne Myers, he was a missionary in Mexico. Wayne's life was live to give. And that was the message that he preached everywhere he went. I don't care where it was. And I know through Christ for the Nations that Wayne Myers built over 3,000 churches in Mexico, all over Mexico. And he also, not just Mexico, but also in Spain as well. He built over 3,000 churches, and how he did that was he lived to give. He says, I am a conduit for the blessing of God. That's my life, is nothing but a conduit for the blessings of God, a viaduct for the blessings of God to flow through to the nations of the world. And it was not just Mexico and Spain, but also in South Africa. He raised money to help churches and build churches in South Africa. He spoke volumes into my life through the lifestyle that he lived. And at Christ for the Nations, he was the man that he was bald. Literally, he was a little petite fella, about 6 foot tall, but he was really petite, maybe 5'9", 5'10". But, I mean, he was like small. And he was bald as could be. And he laid his bald head against my chest. And he prayed for me. Whew. And the anointing of God came on my life to preach. So I'm sharing about a ministry that was given to me through another man. A ministry to be a missionary. A ministry to live to give. A ministry that was called of God upon my life, that I be a conduit for the blessings of God to the lives of other people. And I want to share the Word of God with you that He shared with me, that enabled me to be this blessing to Africa, to Spain, to El Salvador, to Mexico, to Adina, to other missionaries, to Jeremiah, to all the other missionaries around the world. Not just me as a missionary, but living to give. And I want to challenge you today with the scripture. And all I'm going to read is the scripture and just share personal testimonies. While at Christ for the Nations, I practiced and put into practice living to give. And you say, really? Yes, really. And I'll give you an example. My wife and I were newlyweds whenever we took off to Christ for the Nations Bible College to learn God's Word and to become whatever God wanted us to be. And I had received at my wedding day a very special gift from my wife, and I cherished that gift. In fact, that gift was on my arm, and it was a very high dollar, very expensive watch that she gave to me on my wedding day. And one day, Wayne Myers was preaching. And he says, "What is the most precious thing that you own?" I looked at my watch. Because to me, that watch meant more to me than anything else. She gave it to me. And he said, "What is the most precious thing that you own? Would you be willing to give that up for God? Would you be willing to do whatever God would have you to do?" And okay, Lord. Y'all say, "You're silly." I took that watch off and the offering plate came by and I put it in the offering plate. And then I told my wife. We cried together. But now I have more watches than I can wear. I've got watches in the drawer. Brand new watches in the drawer at home that I've never worn. Nice watches. And I just give them away. "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap." Personal testimonies. Luke 6:38, please. Scripture says this. "Give, and it shall be given to you. But the preface it to all of your receiving anything is you got to give. If you don't give, you're not going to receive." That's the principle that God has laid down for us to walk by. This is the promise of God. "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will" what? "Would be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured unto you." I'm here to tell you there's no way on this earth that you can outgive God. He owns the cattle on the thousand hills and all the gold and silver in those hills. All the diamond mines belong to Him. Everything in this world literally belongs to God, including the heavens above. And God is who? God is your Father. But there's principles that we must follow in order to receive the blessings of God. And this principle is that I want to talk to you about today is giving. Giving and receiving. If you give, you will receive. It's a promise. It's a promise, and it's nothing can stop the promise of God from flowing into your life. For in the same measure that you give, it will be given unto you. God's promises are all yea and amen. Let's clear the air right now. If you believe God and you believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior, all the promises of God are yea and amen to those who believe. It is to the believers. The promises of God are to us as believers today. It shall be given. First step, you got to give. You got to put something in order to receive. You got to be able to let go of whatever it is that you're holding on to that's so precious to you that you're holding on and maybe even putting before God. Let go to be able to receive. I love whenever I see the face of someone light up whenever they receive the blessing from God and God using me. And I'm going to use a personal example. I was a mechanic, did mechanic work with Marty Ryan for years. And I went to Bible college The 2 years at Christ for the Nations, I thought this will be an extra way for me to make money. I'll just work on people's cars. And I did. I'd go out and they have a pit, like a mechanics pit at Christ for the Nations. And you could go out there and you could pull your car in and work on your car. And there was everybody always needing somebody to work on their car because not everybody can work on their car. Can they, Pastor Terry? Not everybody is mechanically inclined. So they found out, I put name on the board, we'll work on cars for cash, you know. On the little laundry room, outside the laundry room at our building. And they found out real quick George could work on cars and George could fix cars. And so I had all my tools with me. And so I would go out to the pit, sometimes even on Saturday morning, just to see if anybody needed any help. Just for extra money. My wife reminded me of this morning. That I would work on somebody's car for extra cash and would get $20, $30, $40 for whatever it was that I was doing on their car, but the cash never came home. I'd usually find somebody on the way home that needed it more than me. Can't outgive God. Give it away. Quit holding on to it. If you'll let go, quit hoarding. That's the problem with our society today in many, many ways. We could feed all the hungry. We really could. How many of you refrigerators are full? Mine is. My deep freeze is full. Y'all need to eat meat. I got meat. I got some beef. I got deer. I got venison. Y'all need anything to eat? I got plenty. My barns are overflowing. I'm not going to build bigger barns, though. I'm going to tell you about that later. It's so important. So important for you to be blessed of God. But you got to start. You got to start somewhere. If you've only got $10, do the tithe. If you aren't tithing at the church, start tithing. And I challenge you. Because the scripture says if you'll bring the tithe into the storehouse, that God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there not be enough room to contain. And all he asked for is a tithe. All he asked for is the tithe. Tithe is what? Just the 10%. That's all he asked for. You can have the 90, and you can use the 90 however you want to. But God says, and it's not because God needs your money. Trust me, he don't need your money. He doesn't need anything you got. But he does ask for obedience, and that's all he asks for, is just simple obedience to the truth of God's word. If you will just simply obey the truth of God's word, the windows of heaven will open up for you. That's what the promise says. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses. Start out with verse 6 through, and then we're going to go through here. But this I say unto you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. This is the new covenant. This is not the mandatory 10% that God had in the Old Testament. Through Malachi, coming through the book of Malachi. That the law was fulfilled in Christ, and you don't have to give anything. But if you give, you'll be blessed. You can still be a Christian and not give, but it's very difficult. Scripture says, but he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. I'm at a place in my life where I'm just going to be real honest with you. Because of the blessing of the Lord on me and on my wife and I don't have to work. I don't need to work. I walked away from Lowe's, and I'm going to be honest with you. I walked away from Lowe's after 10 years being with Lowe's and investing in and being wise with Wise Stewart, I walked away with a chunk of change that I don't really need to work. But I work so I can be a blessing to others. My wife and I work. Both of us still work. I own property. I'm telling you this not to brag on George, but to brag on the one I serve. Because he has blessed me immensely. The blessings of God have overtaken me. And I'm so grateful that I can hardly hold back the tears. Because I know in whom I believe. And I know he is able, more than enough. In every circumstance in my life, he is more than enough to do above and beyond all I can either think or imagine. I have a rental property that's probably worth $800, maybe even $1,000 a month. You know what I get out of it? I get $600 a month. You know what my bills on it are? $597. I rent it to a Christian family. They love God. They're serving God. He's a worship leader in the church. So I put $3 in my pocket every month. And I probably give it away. I'll be honest with you. At the nursing home. I work at a nursing home. And they're on limited budget. Y'all understand you got to be on a limited budget. But I probably buy more stuff for elders and staff than they do. Why? Because they don't have it. They're on a limited budget. And if they need a case of pork and beans, I'll go to Walmart and pick up a case of pork and beans and take back to the kitchen. Or if they need 200 hamburgers, I'll go get 200 hamburgers and just take them back to the kitchen because they need to feed the people. They need to feed the staff. If they need candy, I'll go get candy. If they need gas in a vehicle, I'll go put gas in a vehicle. I'm not saying this because I'm telling you, if you give, you'll receive. And you got to start somewhere. If you're not giving at all right now, if you're not giving at all, you need to start giving with something. You need to give something of what you've already have right now. Because if you eat your seed, you're not going to have anything to plant. Go ahead. Verse 9. Verse 7. So let each of us give as he purposes in our heart, and not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I tell you, it excites me to be able to give. I get excited to be able to give stuff away. I've got a garage full of stuff. Anybody need anything? I'm about to have a garage sale. And if you ain't got any money, I'll give it to you. We gave more stuff away at my mother-in-law's and father-in-law's house whenever after my dad, my father, I call him dad, after dad passed away. We gave stuff away just because people were in need. And if you give to those who are needy, you're giving to God. Scripture literally says you are lending to God. And God will repay. God will always repay. Let's go. And God is able to make all grace, every bit. That word all is total. Total. All grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. That word all just keeps jumping off the page. All. No matter what it is in your life that you have need of, God is able to make grace abound if you'll just give. Just start giving. Give from your necessity if you have to. But give. May have an abundance for every good work. Let's go. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. Now many Now may he who supplies the seed to the sower, here we go, you've already got the seed, don't eat your seed. If you eat your seed, you're in trouble. Supply seed to the sower and bread for the food, supplies and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberally, which calls thanksgiving through us to God. God is able. God is able. God is able. God is able. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Whatever the need may be, whatever need you may have, God is able to make the grace abound. Scripture says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, which is not up there, but that we reap what we sow. If you will sow, you will reap a harvest. And this is the problem in our society today in many respects. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 20. Then he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, had more than he knew what to do with. But he said, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? I've got more than enough. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, this is what I'll do. Since I have no room, so he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and I'll build greater ones that there'll be room enough to store everything. Isn't that the problem in our society today? How many, I'd love to have some of these little buildings along the side of the roads. I'd like to own a group of those, because you know what? I guarantee you they're every one full. And people are paying $100, $200, $300 a month to rent storage buildings to keep their stuff. It's true, isn't it? I'm not, please don't be condemned if you've got a storage building. I'm sorry. I apologize. Please don't take, maybe you need to get rid of it. just say, don't be condemned. Please don't take that. I'm sorry. But the word of God is true. Let's go. And I will say to him, my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat and drink and be merry. Let's go. But God said to him, fool. Wow. This is what God said, not what George said. Fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be? Whose will they be? Which you have provided. My challenge to you today is to live to give. Let giving be the motivating factor that you clean out your garage, that you get rid of your storehouse. God's able to provide. I've given away cars. Sometimes without wanting to, Dina said. But I've given cars away. I give money away. I give clothes away. I got more clothes. Anybody need clothes? I got clothes in my closet I need to give away right now. I'm going to give them away. They're mediums. I've grew to a large. Okay? I got a lot of medium, really nice shirts that I'm going to give away. Anybody need it? I'm telling you, you can't outgive God. If you try to outgive him, the blessings of God will overtake you. It will overtake you. More than enough in every circumstance that we face. Right now, I'll be honest with you, I own three properties. I own three properties, and it's the blessing of the Lord on my life. It's not because of financial. I'm telling you, I am not the wisest financial, but I know the one who is able. And he puts people that help you with your finances if you'll ask, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? How do you want me to handle this? How do you want me to show me who, bring people into my life that I can be a blessing to, that I can sow into their life and be a blessing to them? Church, next Sunday, we're taking up an offering. And I challenge you, get outside of your comfort zone. Give till it hurts. Give till it hurts. Because I promise you, you won't outgive God. If you're sitting on this huge egg, let it hatch and give it away. Let it hatch and give it away. I promise you, from God's word, it is so clear. This is what I have lived by for over 35 years. Live to give. I was in need of a belt at one time. And I prayed and asked God to give me a belt. I didn't even have a belt to wear with my dress pants. And I prayed and asked God to give me a belt. Less than a week, somebody left the belt hanging on my... on my doorknob, outside my front door. Don't know who did it. Still don't know today. But I know where it came from. Because I had prayed and asked for a belt. And it fit. It was exactly the size I needed. I've been giving belts away at the nursing home. I got extra belts, so I take them to the nursing home and give them away. Shirts, I take them to the nursing home, give them away. Guys, I'm telling you, live to give. Don't store it up. Don't hoard it. Don't hold on to it. Let go. Let God. It'll work. It works. And whatsoever you have need of when you pray, believe that you will receive it, and you shall have whatsoever you pray for. He didn't tell you to build big barns. He didn't tell me to build a big barn. But he has blessed me. I know whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Live to give. If you do that, you'll be blessed. You'll have money in the bank. Your bills will be paid. I know that for a fact because there was times that we prayed for our rent money. And our rent was always paid on time. I worked in the log woods to make sure. I logged snake logs out of a big, big forest down in Liberty with a guy for almost a year and a half to be able to pay my bills. And God met every need through that job and through people giving to me. There's been times, guys, there's been times that we didn't have milk in the refrigerator. And we'd pray and somebody'd leave bags of groceries on our step. I promise you, faith works. Faith is real. It's more real than what you see. Because all you got to do is ask your Father. Let me ask you one question. How many of you got daddies in here? Ain't none of us in here ain't got a daddy. Everybody's got a daddy. Some of your dads may not have been the best dad in the world, but he may have tried. Some of them may have been totally absent from your life. But those of you who had dads who were engaged, if you ever went to your dad and told him you needed something desperately, you think he'd withhold it from you? God won't. God will be the ever-present help in the time of need. Whatever you have need of, He is that He is. Because He said, I am that I am. Let's pray. Father, Your word is true. Lord, I may not be the best orator, but Lord, I know that You are. And You're able to speak to the hearts and lives of every individual in the room. Father, I ask You to continue to pour out Your Spirit afresh and anew upon us, that we may glean from who You are and become more like You. Make us more like Jesus. Father, You love the world so much that You gave. Help us to be like You. Be like You, Lord. Make us like You. Bless us, Lord, as we come before You with a song. Bless us, Lord, with all that we have need of. And Lord, help us to take the word literally and become givers. Give, and it shall be given. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Stand with me, please.
We all start on the outside, the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were thirsty, with nothing left to give, for the shape that we were in. Just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. Misfits, these liars and these thieves, there's no one unwelcome here. That sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door and let mercy draw you near. Come to the table, come join the sinners who have been. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. Come to the table. To the thief and to the doubter, to the hero and the coward, to the prisoner and the soldier, to the young and to the old, all the hunger, all the thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who dream you've been forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chained and all the free, all who follow, all who lead, anyone who's been let down. All the lost you have been found, all been labeled right or wrong, to everyone who hears a song. sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. The table. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table.
I just wanted to take a moment and just thank George for that word. I don't know that there are many of us that have empty closets. And to be honest with you, I'm just a little embarrassed for myself. But I just want to encourage you. What he shared with us this morning was the Word of God. And we've moved a couple of times in the last few years. Every time we move, we downsize, we still have too much. So I just want to just add a word of encouragement to what he said and just say, guilty. This time I want to do something about it. So if there's anybody else along with me, let's encourage one another along the way and see how we're doing, okay? God loves us so much. You know, I just get tired of moving stuff. I don't know about you, but I just get tired of moving it. And so I just want to encourage us all. Let's just go along with what God's told us this morning.
I don't want you to feel guilty about having things. It's okay for you to have things. God doesn't want to withhold any good thing from them who walk uprightly. Where we get into the problem is whenever things have us. Whenever we can't let go of them. If things own you, there's something between you and God. Give it away. Get rid of it. Don't let anything stand between you and God. It's more important to have that one-on-one with Him than it is to have things. I love things. I love nice cars. I love hot rods. Amen. I heard amen over here. I love things. Things are nice to have. I love my guns. Gosh, I love my guns. Probably more than I should. I enjoy shooting. Yeah, my wife's nodding at me. I love deer hunting. I love the outdoors. And God doesn't mind you to love the outdoors as long as the things that you do outdoors own you. Don't let things own you. If they do, get rid of them. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Numbers 6, 24 through 26. Go in peace. If you need prayer, we are here this morning to pray with you. Amen.
Amen.